Well, welcome to our 2025 Christmas Eve service. Thank you, worship team, special music, scripture readers. You've really set the scene for tonight as we go into the evening's message. One of my favorite movies is the 1982 Best Picture of the Year, Chariots of Fire. The opening scene is the 1978 funeral service for Harold Abrahams, the winner of the 1924 Olympics 100-meter sprint. Andrew Lindsay, one of the original team, is giving the eulogy. "Only two of us remain," he says, referring to another in the audience, "who can still remember the events of those days." This makes me think of the text for our today. Actually, two texts. The first in Matthew chapter 1. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." And the second from Matthew 28, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples just before his departure. Quote, "And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." I've titled this message tonight simply, "God is with you to the end of the age." You see, all of those who heard these words firsthand are no longer with us. If God is with us today, and he will be with us to the end of the age, how do we see that in our lives today, tomorrow, the day after, and so on? I find at least a partial answer in the lives of those who were part of that nativity. Specifically, four groups: Joseph and Mary, the shepherds, the Magi, and Simeon and Anna. You see, each of them, by their example, I believe, gives us hope for God's abiding presence in our lives today and forevermore. Well, let's think of Joseph and Mary first and their faithful obedience. You know the story. A young woman in a small town, betrothed to be married, is found to be pregnant under questionable circumstances. And what did this young woman have to say for herself? Her side of the story is in Luke chapter 1. "The angel Gabriel came to her," she said. He greeted her as, "O favored one, the Lord is with you." He said she would conceive, bear a son, and his name would be Jesus, the Son of the Most High. She asked this angel how that could be possible since she was a virgin. And he told her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, the power of the Most High, and the child would be called Holy, the Son of God. Her fiancé, an upright and righteous young man, knowing that he had no part in the growing scandal, decides to put a lid on the deal and call the whole thing off. You see, under Jewish law, the woman would be stoned. Joseph was looking for an alternative. His part of the story is recorded in Matthew chapter 1. Joseph decides to deal with the matter quietly. But before he can carry out his plans, he receives an unexpected visitor also. An angel of the Lord comes to him and tells him not to be afraid of taking Mary as his wife. And even more unexpectedly, this child, Jesus, will save his people from their sins, and that this is to fulfill a prophecy going back hundreds of years. So as I look at this, here's the first thing we need to remember about God is with us to the end of the age. Think of Joseph and Mary and their faithful obedience when God was leading them into the unknown. In the same way, just like Joseph and Mary, you and I can count on God being with us when we sense he's leading us into the unknown. Perhaps you're faced with uncertainty today. Maybe the future's hazy at best. Have you reached out to God for direction? And once you sense he's in the midst of your unknown, you can be assured he won't leave you abandoned. Well, next, let's think of the shepherds and their faithful service. Shepherding the flocks used in the temple sacrifices was a lonely occupation. Not much changed from day to day. It was a calling that put you on the bottom of the social ladder. I worked a job like that once. And let me tell you, boring doesn't begin to describe it. Still, the shepherds were there faithfully serving year after year. Their story is told in Luke chapter 2. They were watching their flock at night just as they had been doing as long as they could remember, probably from the time they were teenagers. And a messenger, a heavenly messenger, breaks into their night, a messenger overshadowed by the glory of the Lord. Struck with terror, they're told the news they had never expected to hear in their lifetime. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. As the heavenly hosts retreat into the wintry sky, the shepherds rush to Bethlehem to see if what they've been told is true. And finding Joseph, Mary, and the baby, they finally leave and tell everyone who will listen what they've heard and seen. So, here's the second thing we need to remember about God is with us to the end of the age. Think of the shepherd's faithful service. And remember that you can count on God being with you in those times when it seems that your future holds no promise, and you despair of hope for things to get better. Next, think of the Magi and their faithful searching. The Magi, or wise men, as they're sometimes called, played a special role in the East, what was Persia at the time, or modern-day Iran. They studied the heavens and the oracles to understand their times and future events. According to one account, they were relied upon to confirm and validate the rightful reign of kings in their day. But they weren't just watching for kings in Persia. They were watching for kings throughout the Middle East. And their story unfolds in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in those days of Herod the king, the Magi make the epic trip to Jerusalem looking for this new king. They'd seen his star, had come to worship him. These were serious searchers, and they came prepared to honor and acknowledge the new king's place in history. Scripture tells us that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy when they found him. It kind of makes me think of the parable Jesus tells about a landowner who finds a pearl of great price. He sold all he had to purchase it. The Magi were that way. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So here's the third thing we need to remember about God is with us to the end of the age. Remember the example of the Magi and their faithful searching, undaunted by passing time, sure of the reward when the object of their searching is finally found. You know, when your heart, passion, and longing is set on the things that are pleasing to God, He is with you no matter how long that search takes. It reminds me of Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Do you find yourself sometimes discouraged when a godly desire or quest always seems to be just beyond your reach? I know I have at times. Perhaps it's a life's partner, or even if you should have one, or the means to care for your family in a down economy, or maybe a righteous resolution to a relational conflict. Journey may be long and arduous, but never doubt that God is with you to the end of the age. Lastly, think of Simeon and Anna and their faithful believing and waiting. You know, I can't begin to imagine the faith and determination it would take to believe and wait with confident assurance that God would fulfill what he had promised, as Simeon and Anna did. In our age of order something online today, receive it tomorrow, or perhaps the other day after, these two are beacons of hope in a time of desperate disillusionment. Their story is in Luke chapter 2. There was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and a man set apart from others of his day, a man of patience. Not just ordinary patience, but patience focused on the faithfulness of God's promises. He had learned to hear from God and have confidence in what the Spirit told him. The scriptures tell us that he was a righteous and devout man, and there was one thing he desired more than anything else. Before he died, he wanted to see the promised Messiah. At the same time, there was a woman, Anna. She's advanced in years, 84 years old. As a young woman, her marriage had been cut short after only 7 years. She spent the rest of her life daily at the temple, expecting the arrival of the promised Messiah at any moment. Well, what sets these two apart? I mean, what makes them special? By all accounts, they were but a grain of sand in the tide of masses that came and went daily at the temple. But they weren't like the others. They were faithfully believing God would fulfill his promises and waiting to be there when he did. Today, the return of Christ ranks among the top subjects trending in some Christian radio broadcast and sermon topics. We celebrate his birth this Christmas season and hold our breath, waiting for his return, if it should be in our own times. Whether it is sooner or longer than we expect, we can count on God in the fullness of time to return as he promised. In the meantime, one thing should always be leading us onward in whatever situation we find ourselves. God is with us in our coming and going, or our thinking and doing, in even the smallest of pursuits. A good friend of mine reminded me, God is always present. We just have to take time to notice. Well, a week ago this past Monday, that was made abundantly clear to me. And it happened in the most ordinary of ways. May I say that there are no ordinary days in a Christian's life if you have the eyes to see, the faith to believe, and a heart to follow. It was an ordinary day for me, I thought. My Wi-Fi router needed replacing. It had abruptly stopped working the day before. So off I go to find a replacement. Nothing particularly noteworthy. I thought it was ordinary. Just another day taking care of business. But remember, God is with us every day to the end of the age. But perhaps just as remarkable, he is with those we encounter along the way. Well, arriving at the store, I focused on my mission, find a router, get home to move on to more important things. As I approached the store briefly, I noticed an old woman in a wheelchair, wrapped in a lap robe and a heavy winter coat by the exit door. She wasn't holding a sign or anything and might just as well have been waiting for someone to meet her there. Leaving the store, I sensed the Lord wanted me to stop and talk to her. Her name, I learned, was May. And she had been living on the streets since 2013. She rode public transportation to various places where she was safe out of the weather for a while. Stationed by the door, she would briefly be warmed, I suppose, by the rush of warm air. Shoppers came and left the store. While we talked, a man came up and gave her a quarter. He said he found it in his car. Now, I don't think he was being cheap. It's just that in our credit card culture, he might not have been carrying cash, but he was moved by compassion, and he wanted to contribute something. A woman came up and gave her $10. Well, finally, our conversation moved on, and I told May I wanted to pray for her. She said she wasn't good enough to be prayed for. I reassured her, none of us were good enough when you come right down to it. And I prayed a simple prayer for safety and a warm place to spend the night. As I concluded, I told her I wanted to give her some money. Now, this is a good time to remember the title of this message. God is with us to the end of the age. Not just you and me, but those he brings into our lives when we are able to notice, when we have eyes to see, faith to believe, and a heart to follow. I opened my wallet, and looking inside, found that it was empty. There had been two $5 bills and some ones just an hour earlier when I'd stopped for breakfast and opened my wallet to pay. I called the diner afterwards, and they said nothing was there. But at this moment, they were gone. It's not that May was expecting much from all that I could tell, but at least something. Someone else had given her a quarter. I looked in her eyes and I said, May, you can never imagine what's going to happen next. You see, I had been on a trip a couple weeks earlier, and as I usually do, I had tucked away a couple of $100 bills in my wallet for backup in case of emergencies, and they were still there. Taking one out, I placed it in her hand. Now, I don't pretend to know what was going on in May's mind at that moment, but I can tell you what I saw in her eyes. Hope. You see, God is with us. God's with the maze of the world to the end of times. So as I'm wrapping up tonight, where do you find yourselves in this message? Are you like Joseph and Mary? You're facing the unknown. You need some encouragement to remain obedient where God leads you. Or maybe you're like the shepherds, faithfully living out the life God has called you to, and needing encouragement to be steadfast as you serve him. Perhaps you're like the Magi, faithfully seeking the ways you can serve and honor Jesus, your King. Or perhaps you are like a Simeon or Anna, faithfully believing and waiting for the Lord's return. Wherever life finds you, you can be certain that God is with you to the end of your days. His steadfast love is great above the heavens. His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and we are so grateful, Lord, that you are still with us, and you will be with us to the end of the age as we wait for your return, as we go through our lives in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, that you are there. May you be praised and glorified in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.